When I had the opportunity to interview Bishop Paul Duffy of Mongu, Zambia, I was immediately transported back to my own 12 years in Zambia, of which 6 years were spent in one of the most remote, swampy areas of the country. The first big difference between Mongu and Luapula is the roads. In Mongu, they are sand and potholes. In Luapula, they are laterite and potholes. The people of Mongu have the Zambezi River. We had the magnificent and vast expanse of Lake Bangwelu. We both shared crocodiles and hippos, but the game reserve in Bishop Duffy's diocese ensures that he regularly sees herds of elephants, impala, zebra, the occasional giraffe, and the ubiquitous baboons and warthogs, hunted to extinction in the swamps and savanna lands of Luapula, although we could boast of the unique black lechwe. Another thing that Bishop Duffy, who has spent 23 years in Mongu, shares with much of Zambia is, as Archbishop Mpundu of Lusaka once described to me, uniformly distributed poverty, with a great dependence on rain and agriculture.
First of all, I'd like to say that the people of the Western Province are beautiful people, but they're very, very poor people. 80% of the country lives below the poverty line, according to United Nations statistics. In the Western Province, 92% of the people live below the poverty line. It's the poorest of the nine provinces in the country, the least developed and the most neglected. And as you say, the sand tracks that we have to use for roads, which require four-wheel drive vehicles, which are very expensive to run. And they consume a lot of fuel because you're in low gear so much of the time. The people are poor. They live on a subsistence existence. And they depend so much upon the rains. And that's why we've had several droughts where the people were without food and we had to beg for NGOs to come in and provide food.
We also shared the problem of dealing with the pandemic of HIV/AIDS. The difference is that today's possibilities of antiretrovirals give people the possibility of a longer life, but for antiretrovirals to be effective, the recipients need a good diet. How do subsistence farmers produce something out of nothing, especially in drought conditions with poor quality soil?
The scourge, the pandemic of HIV/AIDS, it's horrendous in our area, and almost every family is, if they're not infected, they're affected. So, once again, CRS came to our assistance with the provision of antiretroviral drugs, not enough for everybody because naturally they have limited resources as well. But the difficulty is when you take the antiretroviral therapy, you have to have a good diet with it and a balanced diet. Otherwise, the medications will not work. And that's very problematic for us, because the people do not have a good diet, because they're just struggling to have one meal a day.
And the thing is that the people in your diocese, they're a very traditional people. So you can't really introduce new foodstuffs and say, this is better, because they say, well, this is not our food.
That's very true. Our people are very traditional. And as a result, I think that's why we have very little development in the area. Because, as you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And if you don't make noise, if you don't complain about what is not right, then nothing's going to happen.
And people say, in your diocese, you've got the Zambezi, you've got areas that are flooded in the rains. So in one sense, you've got plenty of water. But in the Zambezi, you've got crocodiles and hippos, which makes it dangerous to go fishing. And in the swamps,
when it's difficult to grow things.
Right. That is a problem. As you said, we have a beautiful, beautiful country. The Zambezi River runs from one end of my diocese through to the other end of the diocese. And that's why people pretty well settled in the olden days along the rivers, so that they would have water, so that they would have fish. The people try as best they can to provide for their needs through the fishing, but the government puts a ban on fishing for 3 months every year, December, January, and February, because they're afraid that the fish will be used up in the Zambezi River. Yet we had a group from National Geographic in the United States that came out a few years ago and made a survey of the river, and they assured us that there was no way that we would get to a state where the fish would be depleted. But anyhow, we have to follow those government regulations.
Because so much of Bishop Duffy's diocese of Mongu is swamp, he and others have made strenuous efforts to cultivate rice as a food. Yet this also has problems.
We have really been trying to promote rice growth. We've succeeded to some extent, in so much as at first, initially, the people said, well, we have no outlet, we have no market for rice, and it's not our food. So we tried to put up storage facilities close to where the rice growing is happening. And we told the people that we will buy their rice from them if they bring it to those facilities, and then we, from there, can transport it into Lusaka, and it's spread throughout the rest of the country. So rice is a possibility. But again, it's so dependent upon the rains. For example, this year, those people who planted early, their rice has done well, and they have a good market. Those people who were a little later in their planting, the rains all of a sudden came furiously, ferociously, and the water rose too quickly and it drowned their rice. If we had irrigation like other areas in the world, there'd be no problem, that we could really support ourselves well. But we don't have the resources.
I myself remember receiving a huge consignment of food from the European Union for our hospital during one period of prolonged drought and hunger. But most of the food was unknown to the local people. It was difficult for them to eat the strange food, so they were miserable and still felt hungry even when they had eaten their fill. Bishop Duffy has a special concern in his diocese, the refugees from Angola. Mongu marks a border between Zambia and Angola. And the bishop continues.
UNHCR has a refugee camp, Mayuka Yukwa, and at the peak a couple of years ago, we had 28,000 refugees there. Right now, it's down to between 13 and 14,000. Because the government has been trying to repatriate the refugees and have them go back to their countries of origin. Most of the ones that we had were supporters of Savimbi, and therefore they're leery about going back. They're saying they don't want to go back until after the next elections. And part of their reluctance is because some of their relatives and friends have gone back and have even come back to tell them that the situation there is not good.
As if the danger of unexploded mines were not enough, Angolan refugees returning to Zambia also face hunger.
The other danger they have, as you I'm sure well aware, there's still a lot of landmines in the southern part of Angola along the Zambian border, and those haven't been removed yet. And some of the people are saying they do not want to go back until they're sure that those landmines have been removed, because, as you know, they've had people that have been killed by them because they're not aware where the mines are, nor is government itself, that it seemed like the mines were planted indiscriminately and there's no record of exactly where these landmines are. So there is a danger there. UNHCR is anxious, of course, to get the people to repatriate, and therefore they're telling them that those who make the decision not to return, that they will no longer receive help from UNHCR. It's their decision to stay, so they have to provide for themselves, that they will not be getting the maize from the World Food Program that they've got in the past. Already at Nangweshi refugee camp, they have removed the grinding mills for the maize, and they have relocated those, we don't know where. We inquired because we thought maybe we could purchase some so our people would have the use of them, but they told us no, that those were already transferred elsewhere.